Your check, your cooperative. As a farmer-owned lender, Farm Credit Mid-America shares the success of the cooperative with our customers, which is why we've returned more than $1.25 billion back to our customer owners over the last 8 years. It's proof being a part of our cooperative pays. Patronage is an annual decision made by the board of directors to return earnings to eligible customers. To learn more about patronage and eligibility, visit fcma.com/patronage.
Welcome to a Biblical Perspective podcast, where God's point of view matters. I'm your host, Prophet C.T. Johnson. Join me as I boldly and unapologetically address the church's stance and position regarding an array of subjects and topics using the Word of God as the frame of reference. Are you ready? Let's hear what God has to say. Honestly, I find it oddly ironic writing a book about womanhood because so much of being a woman in leadership is making others forget that you are a woman. Womanhood is complicated, but not for the stereotypical emotional reasons. Women are to be powerful, but not too powerful, or else a man will not want to marry you. Be smart, but not too smart, that others feel intimidated. Do not be ugly, but don't be too pretty either, or other women might be jealous of you. And of course, don't be a wallflower. However, being the center of attention is frowned upon too. And let us not forget about the stigma of the single life. These mixed signals can quickly produce an identity traffic jam in anyone's life. And if that is not complicated enough, adding apostleship to the mix is a controversy all by itself. Well, welcome to A Biblical Perspective. I am excited about today's podcast because for this episode, I have a very special guest. This woman of God is dear to me, dear to God and to the kingdom. The excerpt that I read just a moment ago is taken from her book, Diary of a Woman Apostle, Part 1, The Warfare of Womanhood. That's our topic for today's podcast, The Warfare of Womanhood. Who am I speaking of? I'm speaking of none other than my apostle sister, in which I affectionately call her Apostle Ashley Clater. Now, before I allow her to greet you in just a few moments, allow me to officially introduce her. Known for her tell it like it is pragmatism, Apostle Ashley Clater brings the classic, incisive, agile, and eternal wisdom of a contemporary apostle. Apostle Ashley has been a praise and worship leader for 19 years and an executive assistant to Dr. Paula Price for 16 years. Her education includes a BS in drama, television, and film from Oral Roberts University, leadership and ordination through Everlasting Life Bible and Prophets Institute, and a PhD from Pneuma Theological Seminary in partnership with Kingdom Assembly Embassy University. Apostle Ashley's strength areas include leadership and guardianship, praise and worship, team establishment, development and recovery, armor bearer training and development, and soul healing and deliverance. This woman is smart, she's intelligent, and she's very productive for the kingdom, as you can see and hear by her bio. Apostle Ashley brings a refreshing sense of humor with her two-dimensional training, which is geared toward advancing both the leader and their team members. A Biblical Perspective family, without further ado, I'm so excited about this particular discussion and guest, my apostle sister and friend, Apostle Ashley Clater. Say hello to us. Welcome.
Hello, hello. Thank you. Hello.
There we go. We had to bring you in with a round warm of applause.
You know, I love sound effects.
I know you do it. So do I. That's why we click, and for so many other reasons. But say hello to our biblical podcast family. Greet us in your own way. And then we're going to dive into this powerful and insightful discussion that we have scheduled for our listeners on today.
Well, hello, and it's an honor and a privilege to be on this podcast, this episode of the podcast, such a relevant subject, biblical perspectives, biblical exploration. It's something that is a hot button for me in every area, in working with our teenagers in our church. It's all about the Word of God and what is God's mind on the matter, not just what are we supposed to get from it,
right,
but what did he have in mind when he said it or wrote it or did it. So thank you for having me on. I look forward to tonight's discussion.
Well, thank you for accepting and being with us. And I, too, am excited. Listen, I need for you all to pull close to your electronic device, because today's episode, today's discussion with Apostle Ashley is going to be empowering, enlightening, and humorous, because we both have a humor bone. And so you'll experience that side of us. However, you will hear what the Lord has to say. Now, we're going to discuss the subject matter, or dialogue from the subject matter, the warfare of womanhood. And as I stated in the beginning, this thought, or this topic for today's episode, derived from Apostle Ashley's book, Diary of a Woman Apostle, Part 1, The Warfare of Womanhood. So, Apostle Ashley, just give us a brief synopsis of what the book is all about.
This book, which is really a booklet, because it's super thin and really tiny, almost the size of a pocketbook, is about addressing what the title says, the warfare of womanhood, not from the perspective that most people think. It's to give insight beyond the obvious. It's to also open up the eyes of men, brothers, uncles, fathers, to even understand what their daughters, wives, sisters, aunties, grandmothers are going through as women, from society, from family, dealing with that identity crisis, and really where it comes from, and how, and addressing how sometimes people contribute to your warfare, and they don't even realize that's what they're doing.
Wow. Now, let's discuss for a few seconds that word, that term, warfare. Because, of course, me being a military man, for those of you that don't know, my occupational, professional background is military, 20 plus years Air Force. So that's one of the reasons the title intrigued me, was due to that word, that term, warfare. So why did you choose that word, that term, to bring awareness to the challenges, we'll say it in that manner, that women, particularly in ministry, in leadership, from the ministerial aspect, go through? And that's what we're going to deal with, listeners. We're going to deal with the challenge, the warfare, as the book says, regarding womanhood and or women in leadership. So tell us why you chose that term.
Okay, that's a great question. Warfare, the term warfare is attached to engaging in or the activities involved with war or conflict. When you study mental health, it's dealing with the conflict within people, those who are struggling with their mental health. They have that mental warfare. And so warfare is attached to the conflict that we're facing and the activities that are connected to it. There were so many other words I think that I could have used, but you really are in a battle every day.
Right.
Now, even more because of the gender pressures and insanity that is being ramrodded down people's throats from the time children are in preschool all the way to the Olympics. And so, I mean, there's a level of relevance to this now that was not even in existence on the forefront to this extent.
Correct.
When it came out a couple of years ago.
Right. Well, let's dig our heels into this, the warfare of womanhood. I love that explanation. There are some that would say, what warfare? What warfare are women engaged in? What challenges? What opposition? what is it that you're talking about, especially in regards to leadership? Because, of course, there are a plethora of thoughts, opinions as it pertains to women in ministry. And when we say ministry, in this instance, we're talking about women preaching, declaring, heralding the word of God, women being the voice piece, the voice of God, the heracle of God, heralding rather the word of God and declaring the oracles of God. So just want to make sure that you understand, listeners, what we mean when we talk about ministry, because again, there are many who have various opinions, various thought processes in regards to women in ministry. From that aspect, they have a problem. They have an issue with a woman preaching. They have an issue with a woman apostle. God forbid, a woman apostle. What in the world?
So my Lord.
Yeah, we're definitely going to talk about that. But then they're okay with women in ministry from the aspect of hospitality, ushering, nursery, working with the youth, things of that nature. So we're going to start there. One, of course, we want you to share some of your experiences as a woman in ministry and a commissioned apostle, an apostle of the Lord Jesus Christ, who happens to be biologically a woman. So we definitely want to hear your experiences and what you've encountered personally from that perspective. But before we get there, why do you think, not just men, I almost said, why do you think men have issue with women in ministry? But there are some women who have issue with women in ministry. So first, share with us why you think that is, and then provide us with scriptural support or scriptural precedents that supports you being in ministry as a woman apostle, a woman preacher, because obviously, well, answer all those questions I just said first.
Lord have mercy.
Because I gave about 15. So before I give you the 16th, I'm going to allow you to answer those and then we'll move on.
Well, you're so considerate. Thank you. Okay, starting with why people in, we're just going to say Christendom.
Okay.
This is not everybody, but in general, doctrinally speaking, the doctrine of Christianity, not scripture, but doctrine says men should be in charge, women should serve.
Right.
Very true. Which is why we have people are okay, like you said, being in hospitality, Lord knows, you're going to be a church mother.
Right.
If okay. Anything. Church. Right. Because the men are the leaders. Right. So we don't even have church fathers. We just have church mothers.
Wow.
And once you have elevated to a certain status and you're like 90 years old, we're going to make you a church mother. And you should be proud of that.
Right.
We're going to send them out as evangelists, even though we actually don't send the women out as evangelists. But we just give them the title, I'm an evangelist in the church, not going overseas, not leading anything in the organization. Like you said, hospitality, maybe deaconess.
Right.
Hey, yeah. Deaconess. We're going to let you seat people.
Or a missionary.
And maybe.
That sits on
maybe
the front row.
Maybe pass the plate. They a missionary that sits in the front row. And wearing of course, white. You're always welcome to join. Got to wear white.
Yeah.
Always welcome to join the choir.
Mm-hmm.
You probably won't lead the choir unless you're the lead soloist, but you'll be in the choir and play the piano. Outside of that in ministry, so people are fine with females being in the mix as long as you're not in a leadership position.
Role. Right.
This is when we start getting into the conflict of that, because we have separated and really extrapolated. We don't even read all the passages correctly about dealing with women being quiet and all these things. Paul was addressing wives with their husbands.
Well, talk about that. Go ahead and be an apostle on a biblical perspective.
All right. Let me be the apostle. When you read the language, when you study it out, and when you do your homework, we're both under Dr. Paula Price, the chief apostle.
Woo-hoo.
And she has hammered this thing.
Bell for Dr. Price.
Ring the bell.
Bell for Dr. Paula A. Price.
Ring the bell.
The chief apostle.
Woo!
All right. We're back. We're back.
Okay. We're back. Thank you for allowing us to take that detour.
Yes.
She has addressed this extensively and done the homework. We have a phrase in our organization, do your homework.
Exactly.
When you read the language and you do the history, you find out that when Jesus hit.
At Emory University, we believe in those with the ambition to achieve, the passion to learn, and the optimism to see the possibilities ahead. Founded on a belief that the wise heart seeks knowledge, an Emory education combines experiential learning in Atlanta and beyond with unrivaled collaboration and discovery, all to prepare you for a world that needs your leadership. Learn more at emory.edu.
Holy Spirit hit. Everybody got free.
Mm-hmm.
And sometimes when people get free, they can get a little out of order. Very excited. And so there was just things breaking out. So Paul was addressing husbands and wives, also according to their culture, which is still very much the same today.
Mm-hmm.
We are Gentiles.
Right.
And so he was dealing with the Jewish people. Paul was called to the Gentiles, Peter to the Jews. But in all of this, and when you read those passages at the end, he starts talking about childbirth, mm-hmm. bearing children,
mm-hmm.
submitting to your husband.
Right.
But in the end, he's like, but if, in essence, if this causes a problem, then no such law exists. So if you're in a place that rolls that way and everybody's fine, fine.
Right.
If it's causing a conflict, then we're not even going to deal with it. And so we don't read scripture the way it was written. We read scripture the way we've heard it preached.
Right. It's very true.
And this is something Dr. Price has taught us. She said, yeah, but you read the word the way you've been taught it. Very few people actually read it the way it was written.
Exactly.
Or else why? And historically, you see women in leadership. We have this mess in the church right now. You're talking about how women shouldn't be in leadership. This is under the leadership of men.
Mm. Whoa.
The mess we have now is from the leadership of men being in charge. We've lost our way. We have people in pulpits who are not saved.
Right. Exactly.
Every year we have preachers jumping up talking about, I've lost my religion. I've lost my faith. I've lost my hope in God, committing suicide left and right, committing adultery, coming out of their ears.
Right.
Swapping people, gay folk. This is under men's leadership.
This is very true.
And so the argument is that if you are male, then you are automatically qualified to be a leader.
Right.
And if you are female, then you are disqualified, or you have to prove yourself 10 times harder than the unqualified guy standing next to you simply because you're a female.
Exactly. I love what you said, and you said so much in which you said was powerful, was enlightening, and I'm pretty sure it got under the skin of some individuals, maybe.
That's all right.
Listen to a biblical perspective. But if you keep listening, you will get delivered. So, one thing you said that was very powerful is that Dr. Price often says, again, people read the Bible, interpret the Bible, comprehend from the perspective in which they were taught versus how it was written. And one thing we fail to realize is that there are many individuals that were taught the Bible incorrectly. And sometimes we think that if we were taught the Bible from church, or we grew up in church, we were raised in ministry, and of course, what we have learned and what we know pertaining to scripture was taught from our leader, from our pastor. We assume that it was taught right because it came from the pastor, it came from the bishop, it came from or across the pulpit. But that's not necessarily true. Unfortunately, there are many individuals that are not rightly dividing the word. And as I often say, scripture is clear. study to show thyself approved, a workman need not be ashamed, rightly dividing the word of truth. Therefore, indicating in that scripture that if you can rightly divide the word, then of course you can wrongly divide it. And so,
correct.
And so that's where many are. They are holding fast to a doctrine, holding fast to a belief system, holding fast to a thought process and ideology that scripture was given to help develop that thought. However, the scripture was not rightly divided. They were taught erroneously. Hence, you have many, not again, just men, but you have some women that are against their own sisters being used of God in the capacity of leadership. So, before I segue into War One of the book, and we are going to definitely inform you, our listeners, how you can get your hands on your own personal copy of this powerful piece of literature, either electronically and or hard copy. But before we share that with you and before we get into War One of the book, and I love how you titled it, Single, Satisfied, and Holy. Girl, please, why aren't you married? And when I read it, I could definitely hear you saying it in that manner. So is that not intriguing? So we're going to allow her to just go flow and just share from that chapter or from that segment of the book. But before we do that, just what are your thoughts in regards to what we've shared? Anything you want to hone in on? Anything you want to beat? I guess I don't want to say the word beat, but anything you want to highlight,
hammer home,
exactly, in regards to what we've shared so far.
Yeah, sure. Where we are because of indoctrination. When you look up the word indoctrinate, a simple definition is to teach a person or group to accept a set of beliefs uncritically.
Wow.
That's to indoctrinate. So everybody's indoctrinated about something.
About something, exactly.
How the family operates. Everybody knows the family rules. School, the backyard, playground, and right on down to, of course, the church application. When we hear words like doctrine or indoctrinate, we as saints typically only think church, mm-hmm. not actually that it is a process. Indoctrinating is a process. No matter what the subject, you say you're military.
Right.
You are indoctrinated into the ways of military.
Exactly. Exactly.
It's first nature to you. It's not second nature to you.
Right.
You can just, I've had conversations with you. Boom, 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 boom. Rattle it off because you have accepted a set of beliefs uncritically. Mm. And anything that you are critical of, you suppress or you rein in or you bring under, mm-hmm. under the authority of the institution that has indoctrinated you.
Very true.
So likewise with the body of Christ, and even on this subject, since we're talking about this and dating and mating, we've been indoctrinated to accept a set of beliefs about relationships uncritically, meaning we do it automatically like it's a law. Yeah. We do it like it's a law. Well, you have to have a boyfriend by the time you're in, by the end of ninth grade in high school.
Right.
You have to have had your first kiss. By mm-hmm. a certain time. You have to have gone out on a date. You have to go to prom and homecoming. All of these things are belief systems. They're not laws. They're belief systems that people have bought into uncritically. And you know it because when it's time to push up against it, you have a lot of people who feel nervous.
Right.
Oh, I can't tell. What do you mean my kids can't go to prom? What do you mean my daughter can't have a boyfriend? I don't want to be the mean mom. I don't want to be the mean dad. Mm-hmm. That's how you know that our culture and church culture is just as bad as any other in this area, is indoctrinated to it. They defend it.
That's true. That's very
true. It's defended. And so I just wanted to highlight that definition of indoctrinate to really pull the emotion out of it. This is an emotional subject.
Mm-hmm.
People don't, where they're told, don't think about your future. Feel your way through it.
But then on the flip side of that, when your feelings get you into situations that you have difficulty recovering from, then we say, oh, well, you shouldn't have listened to your heart. You should have listened to your head. You pick and choose based upon situation, based upon circumstance, whether you should be led by your heart and or led by your head. But I feel as though in every situation, you should be intellectual. You should be led by the facts. You should be led by, once you've done homework and done due diligence, making sure that you have scrutinized every aspect of the possibility. Therefore, when you make a decision, it's informed versus emotional. And I love that part of the definition. Read that definition again for indoctrination. Read it once more, because I want to hone in on a particular word that's within the definition.
Okay. It says to teach a, because it's a verb, indoctrinate is a verb, so it's an action. Teach a person or group to accept a set of beliefs uncritically.
There we go. Uncritically. Hey. Uncritically. Yes. Now let's just put a few more coins in the meter and and park right here. Uncritically. When you, and I had read the definition before, but I haven't read it in a while. So when you read it to our listeners, when you said uncritically, the bell went off, because we are taught not to be critical in regards to our decisions, because critical has become a cuss word. It has a negative. We have attached a negative connotation to the word critical, as we do the word judge or judging. We only have, we're one tracked in our understanding of those words. But to be critical is not necessarily being negative, but it is to make an informed decision, doing your homework. It's about you scrutinizing again every aspect of the option that you have been given. So before you make a decision, you criticize it, basically. So talk about that. Being critical, or rather that the uncritical aspect, and being indoctrinated is, I forgot, read the definition again and then hone in on that word uncritical. Hopefully you understand what the direction I'm endeavoring to go, because we've been taught, hey, just like you said, feel your way through. If it feels good to you, do it.
Yes.
Yeah.
Yes. Okay. So when we're talking about indoctrinating, again, teaching a person or group to accept a set of beliefs uncritically, when we look up what critical means, of course, you have the criticizing side of it. And you know what? Sometimes that is warranted too.
Yeah. Yeah.
Because if, let's just say, since we're talking about relationships, somebody is approaching a person who is being pressured to get into a relationship with somebody who's abusive.
Right.
And people know it. We act like that doesn't happen.
Right.
That very decision true. Should be criticized.
Very true. Very much
that
so.
That should be criticized. Some things should be criticized. Throwing young people into relationships too soon. I have I have fallen into leading a singles ministry. Wasn't trying. But about 10 years ago, Dr. Price said, you know, you have a passion for this, which I didn't realize I had a passion for, but bless God, that's why you have the right leader over you.
Right.
Because I would fuss. Like, I fuss about certain things. And when you're fussing about something sometimes a lot, that's actually something for you to address.
To address. Exactly.
That might be something God is giving you to deal with. So she said, you should really work with singles. So I had something called the single life. And I can't remember what the acronym stood for. It was very fun back then. Can't remember today. But in that, it eventually revived itself a few years ago with Single, Satisfied, and Holy.
Okay.
And I have maybe quarterly, maybe twice a year, a broadcast, live people there, live in a coffee shop or brought in through Zoom or whatnot. And we address different aspects of being single. This is all tied together, I promise.
Right.
In my first one that I did, I broke out the statistics on dating violence.
Wow.
Rape, violence among teenagers, teenage relationships, domestic violence among teenage relationships is frightening. Mm. How many, especially girls, are abused by boys, but there are some pretty nasty females out there that will beat a man in a minute.
Oh, yes.
And so those statistics are frightening. The divorce rate in the church and the world, ridiculous.
Wow.
And really putting up, doing a critical analysis of the institution.
Mm-hmm.
Because we just assess the situation.
Right.
I don't want to be alone on the holidays. I don't want to go to the movies by myself.
Right.
But we don't actually assess, you could tell who I work for, all right, the entire institution. So other definitions I have pulled up here of critical also mean expressing or involving in analysis of the merits and faults of a work of literature, music, art, etc. So here we go again, expressing or involving. So we're talking about when we say critical thinking.
Mm-hmm.
Hey, wake up. New drinks just dropped at Wendy's. Cold foam, cold brew coffee, and sparkling energy. Both the caramel and the chocolate cold foam are just, so good. And the pineapple citrus and cherry limeade sparkling energy each have
80 to 120 milligrams
of added caffeine. So whether you need a treat first thing or to just stop yawning already, mornings hit different. To pick up a new pick-me-up, gotta be Wendy's. At participating U.S. Wendy's.
Critically minded, an analysis of the merits and faults. So genuine critical thinking is saying, pros and cons.
Right, right.
What are the pros of this? What are the cons of that?
Right.
And you do that weighing which decision you should make based on its merits or its faults.
Wow. So
it's tied to objectivity.
Go ahead. Yeah, exactly. Yeah. It's just so much that's flowing through my mind, through my brain, as you break down the definition and as you begin to hone in and highlight, underline various aspects of this definition to help us understand the importance of developing the skill of critical thinking. In the corporate world, they actually teach you critical thinking skills, even in the military and in various other institutions. However, unfortunately, within Christendom, we, as Dr. Price says, people are encouraged when coming to church, coming to Christ, that you detach yourself from your brain. You leave your brain outside of the four walls and you come in just ready to ready to move in an emotional manner versus an intellectual and or a cerebral manner. But when we learn to develop the skill of critical thinking and actually criticize our options, criticize opportunities, it will alleviate much of the unnecessary hurt, pain, trauma that people experience that you don't necessarily have to experience if you learn to be critical about what it is you're getting ready to engage in, who it is you're getting ready to connect with, making sure that, as Pastor Ashley said, you have done your homework, that you have weighed the pros and the cons. So now we want you to know we're not lost. We both have been in ministry for several decades between the both of us, probably 30, close to 40 decades. And so we are right where we need to be. We're flowing along wonderfully. Now, so let's transition somewhat. And in case, hopefully you, those of you whom are listening, a lot of what she said, especially regarding the critical piece, when you fail to be a critical thinker, you open the door to circumstances and situations that you could have avoided. And so some warfare that people engage in really were
right.
Unordained of God. You brought it upon yourself. Now, I don't know if we want to go down that road, but I do feel a tug in that direction. But so let's I'm trying to behave, even though I guess I have a little leeway since it is my podcast. I can act up
it's
just
your
a little
podcast, sir.
But I'm going to behave the best that I can. So now let's move into War One, this section of the book, Single, Satisfied, and Holy. Girl, please, why aren't you married? So as Pastor Ashley said in the beginning of our podcast, there are many women, young ladies, let's start there, that are being groomed for marriage, being groomed for motherhood, being groomed for what society deems necessary as it pertains to the livelihood of a woman, the necessary for a necessary direction that a woman's life need eventually head down, as far as marriage, as far as children, homemaker. But we hardly have young ladies being groomed, prepared for entrepreneurship, for ministry, to operate in roles and position outside of the domestic arena. Now we know, I was about to ask you, why is that? And I believe that part of it is culture. But I'm interested to hear your thoughts on that. And then let's deal with more so of women in ministry. And if you do ascribe to women in ministry, and or if you are okay with women in ministry, then that woman that's in ministry really is the supporter of her husband, who is the main person in ministry. She's the first lady. So that's her ministerial role. Mm-hmm. So let's move in that direction. Let him use you.
I shall, sir. Okay. Well, in the front of the book I have here, it says, we have a collective responsibility to, this is the portion in the back of a word from the author. Mm-hmm. And it says, we have a collective responsibility to heal one another, walk in godly integrity, and recognize injustice veiled as heavenly doctrine. A woman's right to vote was ratified in 1920. And here we are at the time, 99 years later, still arguing if a woman should preach the gospel or lead a ministry.
Wow.
Again, this is still tied to indoctrinated, is that when you're shifting a belief system that mm-hmm. is ingrained in society. Mm. So women being subservient was a societal belief system.
Exactly.
Not just a church one.
Right.
We're talking about in the 1950s, in the 60s. Women couldn't buy cars in their own name. They couldn't get a house in their own name. They couldn't rent an apartment in their own name. They had to have their dad or their husband be on the lease, mm-hmm. sign the paperwork. They couldn't get a loan. So this was all across, everywhere you turn, everywhere you turn. Now it's different where, yes, are you going to have biases? You're always going to have biases. This is not heaven. Okay. Right. And as we know, heaven wasn't perfect either. All this mess started up there.
Yes, indeed.
And so we're not going for, and when people talk about equality, and these are notions to me that will probably never happen because this is life under the sun. And I say in the beginning of the book, this is not a man bashing book. This is not a man hating book. Right. And you've gone through it. So you know that.
Yes.
It's just addressing this issue as it is, as not castigating anybody. You have men who are born into the same belief systems that we are.
Very true.
And so now in this generation, we see women, entrepreneurs, presidents of companies, mm-hmm. some of the most wealthy Fortune 500 and whatever other 100 companies, run by women, nations
yes.
run by women
yes.
that are dominating.
Doing a wonderful job.
Yeah, and so we have to, we're still separating from something that was not a notion, something that was law.
Right.
You talk about with Black Americans, what the laws were against Black people, we can see that. But with women, mm-hmm. the laws that were binding and locking down what women could do simply based on their gender.
Right.
Not their merit, their gender.
Their gender. Wow.
The tide has certainly turned. I mean, look at where we are. I'm a woman. Ministry, authority, leadership. I own my car. I mm-hmm. and it's a nice car, and it's not some little push along.
Right, it is. I've seen it.
It's a bless the Lord, because it is easy to, and I'll say this as a woman, it's easy to criticize the past
wow.
when you don't understand the context. Like, I'll hear women today say, I would never allow my husband to tell me that I can't work. I would never do what my grandmother did. And I have to tell them, but society, the law was against them.
Right.
This is not, women who needed to put their foot down and take a stand. I am woman, hear me roar
right.
kind
right.
of thing. This was institutional suppression.
Very true. Very true.
And so the church is just behind the times in so many ways. I mean, in Tulsa, I've been in Dr. Price's ministry for 21 years. I've been in, 21. Yeah, yes, 21 years. I've been in Tulsa for 22 years. And I can't tell you how many times I've seen, if the husband dies in the ministry,
mm-hmm.
they might allow, in air quotes, the wife. Who helped build it,
right.
mind you, and literally build it, the infrastructure, not just the arm charm, because
right.
that's not building. That's just being cute.
Exactly. Exactly.
But the infrastructure, they might let them stay in that position for a couple of years and then move in other people, other men, the kids who are not ready for the position mm-hmm. or whatever, do all these kind of things because they don't want a woman at the top.
Right.
Even though they were one of the people who built it.
Exactly. Exactly. You know, that you utilizing that scenario brought my mind to an actual real life situation that occurred several years ago. I'm not sure if you're familiar with the late Apostle R.J. Washington. He was the founder of Titus Dome Spectrum Church, very unique name. However, the ministry was stationed in Florida. I can't remember.
Oh, yes. I know what you're talking about. Oh,
and
yeah.
So when he died, he had everything set up in regards to the church being led by his wife. He had everything set up in regards to the paperwork as it pertains to the business aspect. However, the board, members of the board of directors got together uh-huh. and rearranged some things, altered some things in regards to the paperwork, and had the wife put out of the role of pastor, basically put out of the church. And so yep. I just wanted to give a real life situation to help our listeners understand that what you just shared is not hypothetical, but it
yeah, no, sir.
Actually happens. Unfortunately, because men are still moving based upon that indoctrinated mindset of women not being capable of leading. And why is it that in some instances we're okay with women leading in the secular arena, in the corporate world? Because as you mentioned, we have women who are CEOs, CFOs. We have a woman vice president, but in the church, that's where we have issues breathing, where we start having heart palpitations and things of that nature. But leadership is leadership, really, when you think about it,
right.
from a general standpoint. We understand spiritually it there's greater dynamics to it. But generally speaking, leadership is leadership. So why is it you think that people are okay? They encourage women to lead in the secular arena, in the education arena. But in the church, we start again having heart palpitations. Is it because of people having an erroneous understanding of the scriptures in regards to what Paul did say, in regards to what he did teach? What are your thoughts on that? And then I really want us to get in before all of our time escapes into this particular section of the book. But give me your thoughts on that.
Well, the world is really not any more enlightened than the church. They just have laws set up that they could no longer keep us out.
Wow. She said that the world is not more enlightened than the church.
Yes, whether or not we have ascribed an enlightenment, the law of the land forced them, forced corporate America, forced the world to accept women beyond roles of nurses and teachers.
Right.
So as a result, X amount of decades later, people say, I guess some women really can't lead.
Yeah.
Oh, and then some of them had the nerve to get really wealthy, and then they just bought their way in to the top.
Right.
We now, technology allows us to go around gender bias. You can actually, nobody can know who's running your company.
That's
now,
true. That's
you just have
true.
The name out there. You have an online presence. You don't even need a store. You don't even need people. You just have a true. Product that people want. Put that bad boy up on Amazon and call it a day.
Hey, wake up. New drinks just dropped at Wendy's. Cold foam, cold brew coffee, and sparkling energy. Both the caramel and the chocolate cold foam are just, ugh, so good. And the pineapple citrus and cherry limeade sparkling energy each have
80 to 120 milligrams
of added caffeine. So whether you need a treat first thing or to just stop yawning already, mornings hit different. To pick up a new pick-me-up, gotta be Wendy's. At participating U.S. Wendy's.
And so technology and the law has been on our side. This hot mess that we still have in the church is because we don't have any laws to punish people for this secular bias or sexual gender bias that we're facing. So you'll go to a church, they'll stop payment on your check because you're a woman.
Right.
They will pay you half of an honorarium. Like if we both ministered somewhere, well, people are afraid of Dr. Price, so they usually treat me right. But if I wasn't under her, please, you get one honorarium, I get something substantially less.
Absolutely
because,
true.
Hey, you're a breadwinner and you have to take care of your wife and family.
Right.
And I'm just a woman.
A woman. Yeah, that's true.
And so even go ahead.
No, I was just about to say, and not to mention that in some instances, the woman is more anointed. The woman's ministry is more effective. The woman's understanding of scripture, grasp of the word of God is beyond that man. That woman, in some instances, is more mature, and all of that. But simply because her counterpart is a male, in some instances, he'll receive more invitations. Of course, honorarium is higher, even though her ministry is more effective versus he is. And so I just wanted to put my two cents in regards to that.
Let's look at Dr. Paula Price. How many books has she produced that these male ministers are standing? Their entire ministries, many of them, some were substantially built
upon her book. Ministry.
Never
her
invited into preach. Never invited in to do whatever. If so, we're going to give you a this or that. Meanwhile, these other guys who some of them have been out for 5 minutes. 5 minutes out of the womb of Jesus.
There's my bed. 5 minutes. You just were born.
Just got born again. You just got born again.
Again. Five minutes.
You have a global platform on somebody's shoulders and you have overlooked a lot of the women. Think about it like this. The rate of divorce is like what? It's up to like 65%.
Yes, it's ridiculous.
Many people are raised in single parent homes. Majority, I will say, and I don't have the stats for this, but I'm presuming by their mothers. So these women are capable enough to see to it that their kids get through school, passing grades in school, going to good colleges, being groomed and prepared for powerhouse careers. So they're smart enough for that.
Right.
In many households that I know, it's the women who run the money.
Very true.
Manage the house, yeah. The resources. The husbands are like, I got to ask my wife.
Right.
Because I don't know what's happening with
right.
She handles
I make the
retirement.
Money, but I don't.
But she manages
it.
I don't even know what's going on. So you have all of that, as long as it's not in a seat of power and authority beyond the domestic realm.
Right. Wow.
And so that's where we are. I mean, we see more women in leadership now in a church, but people would say, wow, I mean, first of all, I will not name the minister who came to our organization because everybody knows who this gentleman is.
Mm-hmm.
I will not name. They came and at the end of the event said to Dr. Price, you know, I came to see what type of men and women, well, he didn't just come for that, but to see, because he was invited,
mm-hmm.
what type of men and women you have, because female leadership, I wasn't sure. Now, mm-hmm. can't nobody make a man out of you quite like Dr. Price. And so,
isn't that the truth?
He said, I wanted to see if the men were effeminate,
mm.
or if they were beaten down,
mm-hmm.
or if the women were masculine.
Mm.
And what was his shock? The men were men,
right.
strong,
yes.
all men.
Yes.
The women were who we are, female,
yes.
soft, lovely, strong, mm-hmm. but soft, lovely, all
right.
prettified and
feminine.
Blinged out and all, you know,
yeah.
tricked out in our attire. And he was floored.
Mm.
So we're even dealing with now, I can understand why he believes that, because I've seen some female-led ministries, and I'm
yes,
like, these brothers
yes.
in here have more switch in their hips than
yes,
a little bit.
Indeed.
Okay?
Yes, yes, yes.
All right? So
yes, yes.
I know that there's a platform and a reason why people think that. I'm not ignoring that at all. But that's what we're fighting against. So you have men who say, I don't know if I could be under a woman. In church, in ministry. But your mama raised you, right? And your grandmother?
Mm.
Well, yeah.
So
and
you were under
your
a woman?
Wife just, well, yeah, brother, you've been under a woman your whole life.
Yes.
You understand?
Yes.
Yeah, but that's different. And so, because people, again, indoctrinated.
Right.
Not, they're accepting something uncritically.
Uncritically.
And it's not until they are challenged on their belief system that they have to say, you know what, that doesn't make any kind of sense that I have
right.
a problem with that.
Right. Right. And you have to challenge some people to think in
yes.
regards to their approach, in regards to what they accept, in regards to what they ascribe to. They're just doing it, as you said, because they have been indoctrinated into it. And so they've been taught to operate uncritically. They don't think. They don't rationalize. They don't reason. They don't.
No, no.
None of that. And they just do it because that thought process has been passed down. It's been perpetuated through their from generation to generation. So
yeah,
in our last few moments, you're single, you're satisfied,
I am.
You're holy.
Yeah. Hey,
girl, please. Apostle, why aren't you married?
That's a good question.
Yeah. Let's talk about that. Go ahead.
I have had several opportunities to be married in my life. Starting with before I moved to Tulsa, I had met a guy, a brother of a friend kind of thing,
mm-hmm.
older. He was about 10 years older than me. I was like 19 maybe.
Okay.
And that just weirded me out at that age that somebody 10 years older than me would be interested in me and I was still a teenager.
Right.
So, because even then I had an interesting sense of righteousness. I'm like, ah, now, am I against marriages with large age gaps? No, I'm not, because a lot of them work very well.
That's true. Some of them
I'll probably marry somebody older than me because I'm just old. I'm old, even though.
Spiritually,
so
folks, spiritually.
That.
She is very young, chronologically, biologically.
So,
she's talking spiritually.
42. So I'm 42 years old. And in the book, I say, you know, when you turn 30, people get concerned.
Mm-hmm.
You hit 35 as a female, and men have the same pressure.
Yes.
Men are pressured. When are you going to settle down? When are you going to start a family?
Right.
And then when you start a family, you better put your woman in the house. She better drive a nice car.
Yes.
What do you mean your woman has to put gas in her car? Where's the man? And so the pressure on men
Absolutely.
Is just as intense as the pressure on women.
Absolutely.
Which is why men should read this book. Let me say this little aside, and then I'll get back to this. In our youth group, I got from our Christian bookstore. They have all these shelves of clearance books. And so I bought a whole bunch of books for a dollar. Mm-hmm. And I bought books for the girls about identity. And it's written by a woman who used to be America's Next Top Model contestant. Wow. And so she's a Christian writing about her experience and how you're more than your looks, that sort of thing. Mm-hmm. Because girls need to hear that, especially at that age.
Absolutely.
And then I got a book for the boys, written from one of the guys from Rascal Flatts. He's a Christian, and his experiences of failure and recovery and maybe in and out of prison or something. I'm not quite sure. So I passed them out. They're all really excited. I said, when you're done, we're mm-hmm. going to switch.
Wow.
We're going to switch. And everybody got really excited. I said, I asked them, do you know why? And they said, yeah, because we need to know the other opposite sex's experience and what they're going through.
Right.
Which is also why this book was written. So why am I not married? I am not married because I have not heard from God that these amazing men that I know, that any of them are mine.
Wow. Well, now hold up, Apostle. God spoke to these men. He spoke to these men and told these men that you were
yeah,
their wife.
He did too, right? And here's what I say about that. Well, somebody has got to be talking to the wrong God, because God's not going to tell about all four of you. This is not that culture, okay?
Right, right.
That I'm all four of y'all wives.
Right.
You guys is wives. And so there are things that I do know about my future. I was prophesied 2 years ago.
Mm-hmm.
Let me tell you this. When I was a kid, probably 12, I said, because my mom had been divorced at that time. She was remarried.
Okay.
And I said, I'm only doing marriage once. Now, I'm 12 years old. Just I'm only doing this once, and it better work.
Right.
I said to God, 12 years old.
At 12.
And I said, and if I have to wait to do it, then fine. Because I'd rather wait than be ripped apart, heartbroken, and
Absolutely.
Have baggage. 12
Absolutely.
Years old. That's all I knew. That's all I knew. Right. I just don't. I don't want to do this. Little did I know. Hallelujah. And so I know great men. I know great men. I've known great men.
Mm-hmm.
And I don't want to be married to somebody else's husband.
Wow. Okay. I had to hit the bell on that. Now, look, we got a few minutes. We got to get ready to wind it down, but still, I may have to have you back for part two.
That's all right.
Because definitely this is good. Now, say that again. You said you do not want to be married to someone else's husband.
To somebody else's husband.
What do you mean by that? Help somebody. Help the listeners.
Let me help the listeners. I mean, desperate people don't care who they marry, just as long as they marry somebody, which means they're probably wrong, and they're marrying somebody who belongs to someone else.
Someone else.
Even if they haven't met him yet.
Wow.
Somebody said to me, they asked me years ago about being faithful. Do you think you'd be a faithful wife? I said, I'm a faithful wife now. I'm not dating around. I'm not whoring around. I'm not slipping and dipping around. And
Come
I don't even
here.
Have a man.
Come on here, Apostle. Come on through. Come on through.
This was to one of my guy friends. He was like, that is powerful. I said, yeah.
My.
I'm faithful now. Can you be faithful to your spouse before you know who they are?
Wow.
Can you? So most people, no. Because see, the dating game, again, the indoctrination is you have to roll the dice. You have to play the field. You have to do all these things to dirty yourself, to break your heart 15 times, to have X amount of exes coming out of your past and everything else. And it's like you have 5 kids from 3 or 4 or 5 dads. And
I
know people who do. And I love their children. OK,
right.
But it's not the best way to live.
It's not.
And there is a more excellent way.
Yes.
And so I do not want to be married to somebody else's husband. And finding that out 1 year, listen, some people know 5 minutes after they say, I do. This is a mistake. I have a friend who got married. He said, I knew when I said, I do, I made a mistake.
Wow.
And it was his third mistake, because he was on his second marriage.
Wow.
And it was for stupid reasons that he got married. A lot of people get married for dumb reasons.
This is true.
That's not a reason to get married. I tell people, Prophet, I tell them, listen, don't get a man, get a dog. You want a pet.
Right.
Because you want somebody to love on you. Mm-hmm. So when you walk in the door, they about lose their mind.
Right.
And nobody's
going to
lose their mind
here.
Like a dog.
Very
that you're
true.
There and tail wagging and just love and jump in your face.
Mm-hmm.
And oh my goodness. And all that fun stuff. you need a pet. And you know, somebody said to me, you know, you're right. Yeah. You don't need a man. You need a pet.
And especially if you choose a man that you have to take care of, you might as well have gotten a dog.
My God. You're going to call this man a dog anyway.
Well, yeah, indeed. But if you're paying his car note, if you're buying his clothes, buying his food, you might as well have gotten a dog, because that's what you're going to do. When you are the owner, the pet owner, you take on all the responsibility. So you might as well have gotten a literal dog if you're going to come out of pocket and be the breadwinner and the provider and everything that we're not supposed to be. Women, not saying, you know, that they can't provide for themselves, but when you enter into that role as a wife, you're supposed to have the protection, the provision of the husband, whereby you don't have to do all of that if you choose not to.
Sure. Excuse me. Well, you have, however the dynamic works, I know people who the dad is a stay at home.
Mm-hmm.
He cooks, cleans, takes care of the kids. The wife is the breadwinner. Mm-hmm. And that's the dynamic that works. But true to your point, it needs to be a partnership somewhere.
Right. Right. Exactly.
Where
exactly.
This balance, whatever that balance is, because for each family, as you know, it's different.
Very true.
For one, it works. But that's why I'm not married. I'm not married because I know I have not met, or God has not shifted, whatever, because I know so many people, the man that is for me, mm-hmm. as ordained by God.
Wonderful. I love it.
And that's important to me. Does that mean it's easy? Not always.
Right.
Well, let me tell you something. Most days I'm like, I'm good. And you know, the older you get, the more set in your ways you get.
That's true. That is
but,
true.
But I also have quality relationships in my life. And that helps.
Wow. 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 And wow. And normally I'm not lost for words at all. Of course, you know that. We can talk and chew the fat all night long. But I'm telling you, this has been powerful. This has been empowering. This has been enlightening. I know you, our biblical perspective listeners, have been blessed by this dialogue with my apostle sister, Apostle Ashley Clater. And we're going to have her inform you in just a moment of how you can contact her, how you can interact with her, how you can receive the many ministry, how you can benefit from her ministry. She's going to share with you how you can contact her website, how you can get your hands on this wonderful book, this piece of literature that you need in your library, Diary of a Woman Apostle, Part 1, The Warfare of Womanhood. And really, we didn't even scratch the surface. So I'm going to do my very best to get her back right here on a biblical perspective so we can go further and deeper into this particular section of the book, Single, Satisfied, and Holy. Girl, Please, Why Aren't You Married? Now, this may extend us another 5 minutes or so, but hey, I'm the host. So now you are satisfied. So you say, I'm going to play devil's advocate now.
Okay.
Because there are many people, women in this case, particularly, I'm single, holy, I'm satisfied. But come on, Pastor Ashley, are you really satisfied? Because you know, and I would venture to say, you correct me if I'm wrong, that you have been asked that question. Are you really satisfied? You know, you're saying that, you're just saying that because that's the Christian response. That's the politically correct answer, as it were, for a single Christian, female or male, in that respective. So let's just talk about that for a few minutes. And then we're going to wrap it up. But I know the listeners don't want us to go anyway. I know it. So are you really satisfied? Of course, it's a, you know, hypothetical question, but let's deal with that, because there are many people who are projecting a false persona, as it were, of being satisfied. But really, they aren't. They're upset with God. upset with themselves and all of that. So let's just talk about that for about 3-4 minutes, and then we'll really, for real.
How you going to open up this can and talk about 3 or 4 minutes? All right. Let me jump on 2 points on this. One, to be satisfied is simply to be content or pleased.
Mm-hmm.
Am I content? Yeah. Am I pleased? Yes, I am. With my life, my decisions, I can say I have no regrets about my decision to remain single until I am sure that the man God has placed in front of me or in my life or in my peripheral or whatever is the one that I'm supposed to marry.
Wow.
How do I know? Because I am not broken. I'm not busted down. I don't have 10, 15, 20 years of baggage. Mm-hmm. I don't have ex-boyfriends.
Mm-hmm.
I don't have children that I'm raising by myself or from multiple daddies, never been married. And there's a lot of things that I don't have as a result of my decision that many people, most people that I know do have.
Right.
I know that if and when I get married, I'm coming into my marriage clean, clean from comparison.
Yeah.
There's nobody to compare you to.
I love it. Exactly.
My husband's not going to walk around thinking, oh, I hope that I satisfied her. I mean, we can have real talk, right?
Oh, yeah,
I hope that, you know, I'm the one. I hope that I, he's not having, going to have to think, man, I hope that I measure up to this ex-boyfriend who was able to do or this ex-whatever.
Right. Not sexually compatible, as it were.
Yeah, absolutely. Yeah. So there's a lot of things that I'm not bringing into my future that other people do. Again, that indoctrination, that indoctrinated thinking really, really, really wants you to believe that your life has lost something.
Right. That's
because
true.
You stayed single.
Right.
But it's maintained something. I went to the doctors. I had to go years ago, about 10 years ago at this point, I was having a problem. And, you know, you fill out the form and the sheets and they want to know all of this other stuff because it was in the female area. So you got to answer all those questions.
Mm-hmm.
And I was like, well, this is blank because, hey, never been there.
Right.
The doctor, she said, I wish I had more patients like you.
Wow. Wow.
See, the medical profession is going to tell you the truth.
This is true. They certainly
They're going
will.
To tell you, you, honey, just keep yourself until you get married. Just listen. Don't do it. Don't ever start. My friends in college were honest. They said, don't ever start. I wish I had never started.
Right. Right.
And so, but on the flip side of whenever women are crying and mad, now I learned this from Dr. Price. Mm-hmm. I certainly cannot take credit for these questions. When women come up and they're crying and I'm such and such age and I'm not married, she'll ask them, and I have learned to ask, have you ever been married? Some yes, some no.
Right.
Have you ever shacked around?
Mm.
How many men have you been with? See, I'm asking all the questions.
Pertinent questions.
Apostle. No, no, no. Because see, you are charging God with being unfaithful.
Right.
But just like the woman in scripture, you have had a lot of husbands.
Yes.
And the one you're with
that
now.
You're with is not
it's
yours.
It's not your husband.
Yeah.
I've had women who I wish I had kids. Have you had an abortion? Well, yeah. Oh, so you did have a child.
Have a child.
You flushed it down the toilet.
Exactly.
So let's get God off the hook. And when I tell you, I have not talked to a woman who can say, maybe a few, like less than five, who can say they've kept themselves, they didn't run around, they didn't sleep around, they haven't had abortions, they haven't done all these things, and they're having a problem with God.
Wow.
Very few women have done that. And then some of them, they lying, and you have to dig a little deeper to find out they did sneak around a little bit.
Exactly. You have to pull on your mantle.
Yep. Yeah, I'm telling you. And so I'll say, so you did have your cake and eat it too. You put your cart before the horse and now you want God to act like that didn't happen.
Wow. Wow. Well, unfortunately we have to bring it to an end, but because she is my apostle sister and we serve and are submitted to the same chief apostle, I think I have enough, repertoire. I think I have enough, what's the word I'm trying to say? Anyhow, I think I have enough relationship.
You got simplified.
I got enough credit. Yeah. Got enough relationship with Apostle Ashley. Well, I believe we can bring her back again. Rapport. Thank you. That's the word.
That's the word.
I was looking for. I think I have enough rapport to have her back right here on A Biblical Perspective, so we can engage in further conversation and dialogue as it pertains to this powerful, powerful subject of the warfare of womanhood. Now, I know some of you probably thought that we were going to come to the defense of women, as it were, and all of that. And we did somewhat, but this dialogue was not just one dimensional. We talked about, Apostle Ashley addressed many important subject matters as it pertains to womanhood in general, not just defending the woman and coming to their rescue, but also holding you accountable, women, holding you accountable as it pertains to decisions that you have made, as it pertains to circumstances and experiences that you brought upon yourself because you failed to be that critical thinker. And so I want to encourage you to make sure you download this episode, listen to it over and over and over again, and share it with your sisters, share it with your daughters, share it with all the women, young ladies in your life that you know, because we're definitely, rather definitely, there has been much said, shared, and taught during this time that will be very beneficial to them. So I am so grateful to Apostle Ashley for being our special guest on today. Apostle Ashley, please tell our listeners how they can get their own copy of the book, Diary of a Woman Apostle, Part 1, The Warfare of Womanhood. Give them all of your contact information, website, social media outlets. Let them know how they can contact you for advisements, and she will share with you what that is, prayer advisements, prophetic advisements. If you are needing direction, you're needing insight, you're needing instruction, she is truly an apostle of the Lord Jesus Christ. And listen, if you need to hear from God, you need to connect with this woman of God, and she will help you by the Spirit of God to get where you need to go. So, Pastor Ashley, take some time and share with us how we can get a hold of this book, in touch with you in case we need help.
I can throw you a line. Okay. I'm actually changing my web address. It's going to be www.ashleycministries.com. Okay. AshleyCMinistries.com, A-S-H-L-E-I-G-H, the letter C, ministries with an S, .com. From there, you can actually connect with all of the places that Prophet CT is talking about. You can go to my e-store, purchase a hard copy of the book or an e-copy download of the book as well, Diary of a Woman Apostle. I also have other downloadable trainings and classes and lectures on apostleship, on worship, on public speaking. I groom, and I'm a life coach. I'm an image coach. Quite a few side hustles. How apostolic, right?
Indeed.
And so even if you're not in Tulsa, we do Zooms and conference calls and things like that. As far as the prophetic advisements and prayer advisements, those are through Prophetic Ed. You'll also be able to get there from my website. I have a link that will take you right to the Prophetic Ed site. So if you want mentorship, life advisement, working through specific situations, if you want an ongoing subscription, you can sign up for that. If you just are like, hey, I just have this one situation, or every now and again, then we have that option as well at Prophetic Ed online. And then there's just the other services and ways that you can connect on social media. I'm on Facebook. Ashley Clater is my page. Apostle of the Future is also my page, a separate page that I have my broadcast on Wednesdays, Apostle of the Future. I'm also on YouTube. You can put my name in YouTube and pull up my channel there. So if you're not on Facebook, because I know we think the whole world is on Facebook,
right?
They are not. You can still follow all my broadcasts on Friday nights at midnight or ish, midnight-ish, like we'll see. I have In the Midnight Hour, where I do a weekly 30-minute prayer broadcast. I do a Bible study, and I take live prayer requests from all the social media platforms at once. I think that's it.
Well, as you can see, she is a busy, busy, productive. That's the word that we prefer above busy.
Productive.
She is a productive woman, a productive individual for the kingdom of God. She is everywhere. And so all of what she stated in regards to her website link, social media links, all of that will be in our show notes. So all you have to do is go to the show notes portion of this episode, and all of what she mentioned regarding her website or social media, all of those links, hyperlinks, will be in the show notes. And so all you have to do is click right from a biblical perspective, and it will take you everywhere she is. So once again, I am so grateful to my friend, my apostle sister, Apostle Ashley Clater. We are so, so, so very appreciative to you for being our guest here on a Biblical Perspective podcast, where God's point of view is the only one that matters. We will be back with Apostle Ashley very soon. I'm not going to tell you when, because we have to confirm her availability, but she will be back very, very soon. And until then, this is Prophecy T. Johnson. Know that I love you. Be empowered. I want to thank you for listening to a Biblical Perspective podcast, where God's point of view matters, with yours truly, Prophet C.T. Johnson. If you enjoyed today's episode, I invite you to rate and subscribe to the podcast at cpnshows.com, Apple Podcasts, or wherever you listen. To learn more about myself and C.T. Johnson Ministries International, visit the website at ctjohnson.org or text the phrase prophetic voice to 54244. And don't forget to connect with me on social media via Instagram and Twitter at CTJ Ministries or via the ministry's Facebook page at CT Johnson Ministries. I also invite you to subscribe to my YouTube channel, CT Johnson Ministries, also known as Prophetic Voice TV, for 24-hour, 7 days a week of prophetic empowerment. And lastly, be sure to watch my national television broadcast, Prophetic Voice, on Dominion TV, airing Tuesdays at 10:30 p.m. Eastern Standard Time and Thursdays at 4:30 p.m. Eastern Standard Time. Watch the broadcast via Roku, Apple TV, or by downloading the Dominion TV app from your Apple or Google Play Store, or via the website dominion.tv. Tune in next week as we boldly and unapologetically share God's point of view.